On today's episode, the boys will do a boys basketball wrap-up. Girls basketball second round is today. Hills hockey, Suffolk County champions, and college hoops, and a little bit more. Let's do it. Hello, and welcome to another edition of the Colts Corner Podcast. I'm Douglas Satuka with Brian Flatow, Benjamin Dixon, Mike Arafa, and Keyshav Khanna, our guest in studio. We're excited for another week on the podcast. A lot of stuff happening in Hills West. Basketball. Last night was our last ever live broadcast, or Brian and I's last broadcast.
I shed a tear.
For West TV. It was very emotional.
It won't be your last broadcast ever, though.
I spoke about it on the MLB whip around earlier today, but it was great while it lasted. Really happy with what we built here, and hope it continues.
For sure. I mean,
but let's get to the game. Yeah, but you guys might be doing some baseball as well. But last night's basketball game,
yeah,
heartbreaker.
I mean, before we get into the story, one, please check out the game on our YouTube,
yeah,
West
for sure.
TV. If you search Hills West Roundup, that'll come up. Saw we already got over 200 views, I think. So keep those coming. Definitely a very entertaining game. And to the game, Mount Sinai pulled away 58-54 at the end. We can get into the whole debacle after read off some stats here. Nick Horowitz, this Mustangs leading scorer, double-double, 19 points, 11 rebounds. I mean, he was a beast. And really, the surprise for the Mustangs was Nick Pintabana, guy averaging less than 10 per game, comes off the bench, puts up 17. Kind of comes out of nowhere, puts up 17. And for Hills West, Jordan Rader was a beast inside, 15 points, the majority of them layups. Brent Bland, 13 points, three of them were threes, adding to his total of 79 for the season. And Colby Jordan finished with 10. But that's not the story of the game. The story of the game was the technical with 11 seconds left. Bryce Bland clapping to the crowd. Hills West was up one. He went on, shot a dead ball, 1-1, missed the front end. Mount Sinai made both technical free throws, then made two free throws after that to seal the game. So, guys, what are your thoughts on that?
It's really ridiculous. I wasn't able to make it, unfortunately, but I'm glad the broadcast worked smoothly. But, I mean, I heard about that. I saw the play, and, I mean, it's absolutely ridiculous. I don't know how you can call something like that. The refs, I mean, Mr. Doxy told us that the ref likes to call technicals. He's a very technical-happy ref. But he pointed out to us that one of the players early in the game took the ball and he threw it against the wall of the gym in anger. And they didn't call a technical on that, but they call a technical on Bryce at the end of the game. And it really, that is the reason why the Colts are out. Because if that doesn't happen, I mean, there's always a chance, but you don't know. It's very unlikely that they go on to lose that game. So, game-changing moment there. I don't know how you let that happen.
I mean, it's the right call, but it's in the wrong spot.
Absolutely.
You know, sometimes, by the book, it looks like a foul, but in that position in the game, you can't put it into your own hands like that. You got to let the players play. And the officials, if you had a real problem with that as an official, you probably just warn the kid. Tell him not to do it again. If he does it again, there's a technical.
Yeah, you've got to give
him
a warning.
But at the end of the day, with 11 seconds to go in round one of the playoffs, it's unacceptable by the referee. And there's probably going to be no precautions thrown out by the league because it's high school basketball. And no one's really reviewing the referee's performance. But it's a heartbreaker for Hills West boys basketball. And just a tough way to go out.
I mean, if you think about it, it's a real heat of the moment thing. I mean, you're in a game like that. You get a great rebound, and you get fouled with that little time left in the game. You know that you've got the game won. You're gonna react. You're gonna be excited. So, I don't know how you can expect someone to just sit there and be quiet and not open their mouth and not show any emotion.
Yeah, in my opinion, that's all it was. It was a display of emotion. The ref clearly thought that he was clapping in the face of a player. At first, it did sort of look like that, but then the player walked away, and Bryce continued to clap toward the crowd. It was clearly directed toward the crowd, and so I don't even think it was a good call at any point in the game. Nonetheless, with 11 seconds left, it was a bad call. The ref made it about himself, and you really hate to see it.
Yeah, I mean, I watched the replay. The player wasn't even looking at him. He was looking at the crowd. I mean, for me, I said it on the broadcast yesterday, a hard-fought game like that, you got to let the players decide it. You can't call a technical in that situation. It was a player's game the whole game for the refs to just take control late. I was disgusted. I mean, it was the word I used yesterday on the broadcast, and it's the word I'm going to use today. I mean, would Mount Sinai win the game without the technical? Maybe.
Probably not.
I mean,
the life would have been sucked right out of him.
Yeah, I mean, they did outplay the Colts.
But you are putting Bryce Bland on the line.
Who knows if he hits the shot under those circumstances, which are very different than the circumstances he had with the free throws that he took before then, and also you're not sending the best free throw shooter on for the Mustangs to the line in Horowitz, and so we don't know how it would have turned out, but I think it would have turned out definitely better for the Colts.
Yeah, because there's definitely a higher percentage that they pull out the win there if no technical was called. Unacceptable, but that's how Hills West boys basketball season ends in 2019. So their season over, but girls basketball still on the grind. Game two today at Hop Hog. Danny Alper will be missed. Hope she's having a great time on a little vacay.
Yeah, a little Spain trip.
Brilliant.
Yeah. So anyway, the girls, they had a huge win earlier in the week against Bayport Blue Point. Final score of 59-48. It was a close game throughout, and they pulled away late. Top scorer in that game was Alexa Hinkey with 22 points. She really went off. It was a great performance.
Monster.
Electric display.
Ben, Doug, and I were in attendance for this game, and it was something special. Emily Ross was automatic from three. She hit five threes and totaled 18 points. Kayla Robertson, a bit of a down day by her standards, but still a great job. 13 points out there. She was a great leader on the floor also. Just a great job by the Colts. And if they play like that today, I'm convinced that they could win this game against the top-seeded Hop Hog.
I mean, we were at the game against Hop Hog for Senior Day a few weeks back. Hop Hog's a beatable team, and that they beat us by, what was it, a point or two?
Yeah.
And Hills West was not at full strength either. No Alexa Hinkey in there. And, you know, they have that 6'5 monster, Hop Hog, that you can't miss her. But...
I think it was nothing that they didn't see.
No, it was
number 25 on Bayport was very big, bigger than everyone else. Great finishing around the rim.
She was phenomenal.
It's the same concept. It's the same thing that this big player on Hop Hog is going to do. I think if Hills West can handle everyone else on the team, they'll be able to win this game.
I think so. The talent discrepancy isn't really that wide. I think the team's matched up pretty well. If Hills West can just crash the boards. Keep fundamental basketball going, boxing out. So I think they'll have a pretty good shot at Hop Hog today.
But I'd say that number 25 on Bayport definitely was more skilled than 100%. The 6'5 monster. So skill-wise, the big man, not great.
She's just like the elephant in the room kind of thing.
It's like putting me at center against a bunch of kindergartners. I'm not going to make the shot, but I'm still going to get their boards. You know,
that's a great reference.
No skills around the basket, but you'll get the boards, put up a duck, and Hills West will go in transition. That's what you got to hope for.
Hey, but you know what? You keep playing basketball at the Korean Church Friday nights.
Correct.
We keep getting those reps
The weekly game, next thing you know,
you're going to be finishing around the rim.
Of course. You know, just working on improving my game, trying to get to the next level, you know?
Yeah, shout out to our boys, Joseph Choi, Wuju Lee, supplying us that platform to really put our skills to the test.
Yeah, so good luck to the girls' basketball team. Game two today at Hop Hog. Another team, Hills, not just Hills West, had a lot of success this playoff series and were victorious in the championship series. The Hills hockey team winning the Suffolk County Championship game last night. And what a win for them. 5-2 was the final. And what a journey it's been. A team that doesn't get a lot of recognition as of late has been in the news, as we've brought it to our listeners' attention, to the people who look at the roundup at Hills West and all that great stuff. We brought it to their attention, and they made it. They won it. A lot of big performances. We know Brendan Pomerantz, Austin Myers, a guy from East, just a bunch of players all together got it done, and the skill was there. I said they were physically smaller and not as tough as the other teams, but they gritted out. Their skill took over, and they were just able to overcome the challenges.
Did you make it out to the game last night?
I was actually not at the game, getting updates from our friend Jared German.
He was texting me as well.
Who was in attendance, and he was there watching his Jimmy, who we had on for an interview last week, who in game one had a blistering shot, maybe the fastest shot I've ever seen in the varsity level, any game that I've been to, a snipe to the top shelf. Put him up by two goals, and he really picked up his game after I gave him a little pep talk. I think the podcast really installed some confidence into Jimmy.
That is great, honestly. You know, you love to see that. We love making Hills West players better. That's what we're all about here.
Yeah, the Colts Corner podcast, where dreams come true.
Absolutely outstanding.
I believe that's true.
We are.
Because look at it.
We're a moneymaker.
Look at us, fulfilling our dreams.
Absolutely.
It's really brilliant. But Hills Hockey, getting the win, they're moving on to states. Hayden just sent me the schedule. It starts March 1st to March 3rd. That's the New York State Tournament. They've got a couple games up there, and good luck to them as they embark on this next challenge after winning the Suffolk County Championship for the league. So congratulations. Let's move on now to college basketball. And you said that there were a couple games the other night which were electric. We'll start off with the Duke comeback win. We spoke about it a little bit on the live broadcast yesterday. But let's just refresh everyone's memory.
I can talk about this one all day. This was some comeback, honestly. Duke turned it up defensively in the last 10 minutes of the game. They pressed, they ran a zone, and they just were their talent was on full display because Louisville just wouldn't score, and they would get steals. They would block shots. They'd force shots at the end of the shot clock, and it worked. It flat out worked. Coach K did a great job coaching these guys up. And the talent was on display. They were able to score the basketball, had some very nice shots. The play, R.J. Barrett to Cam Reddish through his legs. Cam Reddish drains the three. I think this game really showed me how good Duke can be because everyone knows how great they are and everyone knows how talented they are and that they're going to be the favorites to win it all this year. But if they could play at that dominant of a level when they turn it on like that, I just don't see anyone beating them for the rest of the year, honestly.
Yeah, I mean, I think that game was equally a Duke great comeback than it was a Louisville choke. You watch down the stretch when Duke goes on a little spurt. These guys on Louisville just didn't want to touch the ball. No one wanted to have the ball in a situation where they could possibly just ice the game away. And it was frightening to watch because there would just be careless turnovers after careless turnovers. And for a team like Duke with the talent that they have, they're going to capitalize on almost every single one.
And
but it was a great comeback, and Tuesday was just one of those nights in college basketball that just really just set the national scale, the national atmosphere on fire. Everyone was tuned in. It was like March Madness out there. And another game Tuesday night I want to talk about was that LSU-Kentucky game.
Oh, wow.
LSU.
Controversial finish, though.
Very controversial finish. It was tied up, LSU going to the rack. Layup off the rim, put back, very easily could have been called offensive goaltending, but they called it a basket on the floor. The rule is in the NCAA, you cannot reverse a goaltending call, an offensive goaltending call. So,
well, that's a joke.
That's such a stupid rule. Any rule like that, they have them all over the place in the NFL, the NBA, college basketball, whatever, where you can't reverse it. Like, what's the point of that?
Yeah.
What's the point of having replay if there's things that you can't reverse?
Especially late in the game. I mean, and there was a situation like that in the NCAA tournament a few years ago in the USC-SMU game. I don't know if any of the listeners remember that, where a goaltending call potentially won the game. But that was an unbelievable game. LSU.
That busted my bracket, I remember, actually.
Yeah, LSU is a squad to be reckoned with. They only have 4 losses on the year. They're 10-1 in the SEC, and their toughest opponent left is Tennessee. So if they can somehow pull that one off, they'll be in pretty good shape to win the SEC, like not a lot of people expected.
Yeah, one player I want to talk about, highlight a team, Marquette, playing great basketball, but they have a guy, Marcus Howard, that is just going to be incredible at the next level. Like, this guy can flat-out score. He gets to the basket any way possible. His finishing around the rim is ridiculous. He's got an amazing jump shot. I think he shoots like 90% from the free throw line too. It's just everything about this guy. I'd be really mad if I didn't bring it up because of how good he really is. But I know you could add on to how his just raw skill level too. And he's a junior. You told me, right?
He's a 19-year-old junior. So he must have reclassified. He was a freshman in college when he was really should have been a senior in high school. And like Brian said, he's crazy. I'm not so sure about the next level because he's kind of a small guy, only around 6'6", 6'1", but man, the kid can score with anyone in the country.
Yeah. I mean, I think, I don't know the guy. Sounds
I consider
great.
Someone a
sounds
guy.
Great.
I watched him play in the Villanova game this weekend, and that game was incredible, and just he took over that
game.
He really took it over.
But what I know about a size in the NBA, you obviously need it, but if you have the skill, you got the handles, you can make it in the NBA. Look at Steph Curry. Look at Isaiah Thomas when
Kemba Walker,
when he was
6'1".
Playing well. Exactly. So these guys could make it The looks like he has the skill and the potential to be a great NBA player. But another team in the Big Ten, Michigan. Two losses in their last four games, both on the road, one to Iowa and one to Penn State. Penn State a little bit closer than that Iowa loss. But Michigan, what's going on with them?
Yeah, they're in a bit of a rut right now. They'll get out of it. I mean, that Penn State game, they went the whole second half without John Beilein, who got ejected at the end of the first half. He had a technical, and the ref told him to back off, and he kept on complaining. So double technical. Penn State had four free throws to start the half, and he was ejected. But it's not a great loss if you're Michigan, because Penn State is a team that is multiple games under 500 overall. It was only their second win in Big Ten play. But they've been pretty competitive overall. It's a great win for them. Saw the fans storming the court. But the story of that game is not a good loss for Michigan.
Yeah, that can hurt when it comes down to one seed, two seed, three seed, whatever it is. When we get around tournament time, you look at a loss like that the same way losses in college football can. You get one loss to a bad team, and that can cost you the season. You look at Ohio State last year; they played really poorly in the Purdue game, and that's not the best opponent, and they ended up not making the playoff. So it happens in all levels, in all sports in college, and you look at it in college basketball now, that can bite them. A loss like that, because that's really bad. Penn State is not a good team at all. I don't care that it's on the road. I don't care that Beilein got ejected. Michigan, they're in a rut right now. They'll figure it out, but will they figure it out in time to get a one seed with a loss like this is the real question.
I don't think they're getting a one seed. I think they're on the 2-3 range.
Even a two seed, though.
Yeah,
you know, they keep losing games.
Yeah, that's the type of that loss that plummets you down a seed line or two.
Yeah, Michigan with six more games. Four of those six are against ranked opponents. They play Maryland twice and Michigan State twice, once at home, once on the road. And Maryland, 24th in the country, got a big win.
Huge win the other night.
Huge. I know you were talking about it at lunch, about what a big game it was, and just domination.
Put on a defensive clinic in the second half. Purdue has this guy, Carson Edwards. You may or may not know him. He's one of the best guards in the country. He's a top 10 player in the nation, undoubtedly. And Maryland held Purdue to 6-for-36 from the field in the second half.
That's abysmal, though.
It is horrendous. And it was unreal defense by Maryland. And just the offense, Eric Ayala, he's a freshman. He was really getting it going. You got to credit Darryl Morcell, sophomore, locked up Edwards the whole game, or the second half. And Bruno Fernando, a name you guys might know, he's one of the best centers in the nation. He had another unreal game for the Terps. So it's a good win. Looking forward to the game Saturday at Michigan. Hopefully we can pull one out on the road. Would be a monumental win and a monumental week.
Yeah, so big things happening in college basketball. To the professional level we go. Let's just hit up on one topic, and it's the Los Angeles Lakers, led by LeBron James. They're just outside of a playoff spot right now, knocking on the door. They were in fourth place in the West before LeBron's injury. They're clawing their way back, but as of late, defensively, they've been atrocious.
They stink. Brian, you were going to say something.
But I was going to say, the first time since LeBron's rookie season that he's under 500 going to the All-Star break. I mean, that's with the first year with the Lakers, it's not a good sign at all. I mean, it's a tough West. I don't know how they're going to get it together and make the playoffs with a guy like Luke Walton at the helm. Cause I don't think he's a good coach at all. I think he should be fired, and they said his job's safe too. So I don't know what's going on over there in LA.
Well, you know what? Sometimes I think the coach gets blamed for a lot, but they were fourth in the West with LeBron healthy. Then he went out with an injury. When LeBron misses half the season, it's just a completely different team. LeBron's the best player in the league. You're going to plummet. There's no way, especially with the Lakers being built around LeBron James, have a lot of young talent. Without LeBron, they're just not going to win. And that was the case outside of a playoff spot right now. But I think that they'll find their game, connect a little bit. LeBron seems to turn it on towards the end of the season. Hasn't missed a playoff appearance since his rookie year in Cleveland.
Which is wild.
So don't expect him to miss it this year. So that's all I'm saying.
I'm not saying I expect them to miss it this year, but they're definitely not going to win a playoff game, I think. You know,
A playoff series or a game?
A playoff series, yeah. No, they'll win a game.
It depends
game.
Where they're seated, though. But
if my point is that they'll probably, if they within the West, which is so tough, If they end up making the playoffs, it's probably going to be against the Warriors. Maybe the Nuggets, who got Isaiah Thomas back. If he's half as good as he was in Boston, that's a scary sight, the Nuggets, honestly.
Yeah, but the LA Clippers are in eighth place here. They just traded away.
That's true. The Clippers have to sink out,
and Sacramento's overachieving from what they're projected.
I don't know.
To have done.
I like what they're doing this year.
But you got to think that eventually they're going to fall off, and LeBron's going to overtake them. I mean, really, it doesn't look as though. I mean, the teams in the playoffs right now. You're talking Golden State, Denver, OKC, Portland, Houston, Utah, and San Antonio. That's a solid group of seven teams right there that you'd expect to make the playoffs. There's just a dogfight right now between LA, Sacramento, and the other LA team, and the Clippers, where you believe the Clippers would
fall
off.
I thought Minnesota in the mix too. Minnesota has the potential to play some good basketball. Carl Anthony Towns is
last night.
I think that they did. You're right. I know Harden extended the scoring streak, put up 42 last night.
Yeah. They won 121 to 111.
But I just want to say this about the Lakers. When LeBron came back and they won that game in Boston on the Rondo buzzer beater, I was telling everyone, wow, that's going to turn their season around. I was wrong, man. They lost to the Hawks the other night.
Yeah.
They lost to one of the worst teams in the league.
That's embarrassing.
Yeah,
I mean, they've lost two in a row. They're 3-7 in their last 10.
They give up 10 threes in the first quarter to the Atlanta Hawks.
That sounds pretty tough.
I mean, that's embarrassing.
Hopefully they'll get back on track because I love seeing LeBron on the big stage, but we'll see what happens.
You know, we love our boy Keyshop.
That is a good point, what you said before. I could definitely see them getting into the eighth spot because the Clippers are going to fall off, and I can't see De'Aaron Fox and Marvin Bagley outdueling LeBron James for the eighth spot in the playoffs. So I could definitely see them getting in, but winning a playoff game is going to be tough for them, or a playoff series is going to be tough, especially when they're going to be going against the Warriors.
That just isn't going to happen.
I mean, if you're going against – it's practically a lost cause anyway when you're going against the Warriors,
right.
And especially a team that's not very good. It's really difficult.
For the sake of our friend Keyshop's health, I hope that they get into the playoffs. It's been an up and down year for him. Lakers were atrocious the last couple of years. Got LeBron. Hopefully they make a playoff appearance and get back to being what that franchise is accustomed to. That's a playoff appearance and success there. Let's move on to our moment. I'm sorry. That would have been a throwback. We're going to be topic of the week. So let's do it, Mike.
All right. So our first topic of the week question, what was your favorite childhood video game? I'm sure all of us had one. Me, got to be Mario Kart. I would love to just go home, grind out some Mario Kart. I mean, who didn't love playing Mario Kart when you were younger if you had the chance? I mean, everybody who played it, you loved it. And I mean, I can't speak for you guys, but I know for sure I really love Mario Kart.
Yeah, for sure. I'm a big Mario Kart fan, especially on the Wii. You know, you get the little wheel there. But I'm going to go with my favorite childhood video game.
What's your favorite video game now, too?
I would say Madden, but like... That's too generic, I think. I think I'm going to go with Lego Star Wars, you know, because that's real childhood. That's PS2. Like, that's PlayStation 2. That goes way back to before I was even, like, 10 years old. So I think that's really what we're talking about. We're talking about childhood video game. So it's not a game that I play anymore, obviously. I'm not a big Lego fan anymore.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm going to go with Lego Star Wars. A lot of fun back in the day.
I mean, for me, PlayStation, of course, you have all your sport games. Those were always a lot of fun, but... The Wii is...
It was outstanding.
That's what it is.
The Wii was electric.
It was the best thing to do when you were a kid.
The best thing since sliced bread.
You could say that.
I mean, sometimes I'd even go back and play.
It was a brilliant invention. Wii Sports was one of my favorite games. You know, the bowling, tennis. Do whatever you want.
The best was in bowling when you fling it backwards and everyone behind you just jumps up.
Yep.
Great video game. And also Super Mario Bros.
Oh yeah,
was a brilliant game.
Fun.
The four-player game, everyone involved.
Oh, I like to change my answer. The Super Mario, I forget what it was called, the
World?
Baseball game,
Super Sluggers.
Super Sluggers. Oh.
That game was a lot of fun too.
That was one of the most electric games you could possibly.
The Wii was just outstanding.
Mine was Little League World Series on the Wii.
I was thinking that too.
I sucked at that game. I couldn't figure out how to play.
That's one of the all-time greats.
Yeah, that is definitely one of the all-time greats. Anytime you can get, I mean, imagine being a little leaguer and just playing with yourself as a Wii player.
So cool.
The opportunities
are endless. Yeah. So that's a really good first one. But the second one, what's one thing you wish was never invented? This one can go anywhere. Hmm. There's a lot of stuff.
Got any ideas?
Mathematics. Well, I mean,
I think the world would be a little crippled without mathematics.
If I didn't have to learn math, that would be great. But we need math because That's how it goes. That's life.
Yeah, apparently you need math.
So I mean, I guess. If you want to be a sports announcer, you need math.
I really have no idea what to say here. I'm going to go wisdom teeth because I know Doug and I have to get ours pulled at some point.
Yes, next month.
Mine are actually growing in pretty smoothly.
Mine
so
are coming
far.
In smoothly as well. So I'm,
you know what? Good for
everything,
you.
Everything's going great for me and Garoppa. Okay, so I'm not going to complain about wisdom teeth.
It's the Vanderbilt water, you know. It made our wisdom teeth grow
exactly.
Normally.
Oh, get over
it.
It's
one thing that was never invented. I don't know. Yeah, any ideas, Mike?
I mean, for me, even though it wasn't something that was invented, I really wish canker sores were never invented because those things hurt a lot.
Yes.
And I have one. I have two right now. They're very painful. And I mean, I had a solid stretch for about 3 months where I just couldn't go without one. So I wish they were never made.
Yeah, I wish that something that couldn't happen or that doesn't like what wasn't around or like wasn't possible to happen. I mean, it's pretty disgusting, but like throwing up is the worst thing of all time. Like, if we didn't have to do that, you have to say it because it's just so true.
So true.
It's the worst thing maybe of all time.
Can we come up with a better way to like get something out of
exactly.
my body? Exactly. Can we like invent that?
Make our stomachs bigger.
Hit a button.
Yeah. Just make your.
You know what?
We hit a button and then like, I don't know, have it come out some other way.
My weak or make your stomach bigger. Get a stomach enlargener thing.
I'm ready for my weekly cleaning. That's
I would go for a weekly cleaning.
This is
grotesque. I'm going to go with a lighter one. My esteemed colleague Ben Dixon pointed out to me, soccer. You know, it's just such a boring sport. No one really. No one here in America likes to watch
especially
soccer.
Especially that guy Casey, too.
I do like USA World Cup
he
soccer,
like soccer,
though.
I don't even like that. Yeah. That's just
you know, but USA wasn't even in the World Cup, which is just a big slap in the face to us. Because
what a joke.
Why would we even watch soccer with
Doug,
that?
You got to love the memories at camp, though. Every 4 summers when the World Cup comes on, when the internationals going nuts.
Oh, yeah. These people are running around, painting their faces. They're going ballistic. We're like, we're from the U.S. Soccer is not really taken seriously here, so... good for those people that like soccer, but here in America, we're not fans.
Yeah, not really a super sport. But last one here, what's the lowest grade you ever got on a test?
No. No, I'm not answering that.
Oh, that's true, Doug.
Doug and I probably tied for something in earth science in eighth grade.
It was probably the one I tutored you guys for.
It might have been.
It may have been. I remember
that
you guys
was
did bad on that.
Abysmal.
Yeah.
The waves. It was the waves.
Oh. Energy, maybe?
No, it was with the tides. It was probably like the moon or something.
The moon! Oh,
it was absurd. I'd say over on.
I'm gonna go with
55.
I'm gonna go.
I remember
I'm gonna
grade,
go with today's math test. How about that?
Oh no, that was easy. I thought that was pretty slight, but honestly, like any Ben, we didn't have our study session.
Ben was not the biggest fan of today's math test.
I think. I mean, Ben and I had some fun times in geometry in ninth grade. We had some tough tests in that class. I mean, one in particular. I think I don't know if. I've ever failed a test in that class, but I think there was one time in elementary school I got like a 17 on a test.
Elementary doesn't really count.
Yeah, I know.
Because they graded in like a weird scale. Almost
four plus.
Yeah, exactly.
Four
yeah, I don't even remember how grades
that doesn't
came out
count.
In elementary school. You got an E for effort in the class. And that really matter.
Exactly. So once you get into the middle school, high school level, I'd say earth science was just a disaster for me. So I'd say around 40 to 50. Would be like my lowest ever. I don't know if I failed another test besides that one in earth science. I don't remember what it was. It might have been the moon, but
we had a miserable time.
We had a really tough time.
I enjoyed that class.
You know what? Mr. Black, great guy. But we just couldn't retain any of the information. It was just a disaster.
It was an atrocity.
I don't think,
to say the bare minimum.
A debacle.
Yeah, I mean, earth science was quite the adventure, I would say. I missed Dunn. I don't know if any of you had. I don't know.
No, we were all in the same class.
Oh,
yeah,
okay.
Mr. Black.
So, you know,
yeah.
You know, I was also working on my early developments. Caleb Perry was sitting to my left in that class when I was in isolation, eighth grade. You know,
they found each other really early in the story.
Happy Valentine's Day.
Yep. Happy Valentine's Day.
That's what you
Day.
Love to see.
Doug and Caleb, the cutest couple in Hills West.
Yep.
As voted by their peers.
Thank you all.
All right.
Congratulations.
Are we done?
We're done. So,
we're done.
That'll do it for us this week. As always, we would like to thank the following people: Mr. Doxy, Mr. Ashuti, Dr. Catapano, the administration, the Board of Education, our audience listens every Thursday, and finally, a thank you to the class of 2016 for their very generous donation towards our podcast setup. I'm Ben Dixon, alongside Mikey Stats, Garoppa, Doug Satuka, Brian Flattow. Happy Valentine's Day. We'll see you next week. Oh, we'll see you in 2 weeks. Have a good break.
Have a safe break.